Morning. Today's Daf Chaf Beis in Zvachim. We're back on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're starting halfway down the page. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chiya is where we are in the Gemara, and today, as well as yesterday, we're going to be talking about Kiddush Yad Ha'Raglaim, washing your hands and your feet. It's a mitzvah min HaTorah for a Kohen to wash his hands and feet daily in the Beis HaMikdash. It has been the discussion now for a couple of days in the Daf Yomi. The reason why we're discussing it now in Zvachim, the second paragraph of Zvachim, is because the Mishnah gave us a list of those things which are pasul, those things which if Kohen does not do, he disqualifies the Avoda. One of the things that are mentioned in the Mishnah is Shalarachat Yadam Veraglaim, he didn't wash his hands and his feet. From the Mishnah, it's very clear that if Kohen does the Avoda while having unwashed hands and feet, so therefore it will be disqualified. You wash your hands and feet in the morning. How long does it last? How long does that washing last for? So that we already saw is a machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. According to Rebbe, it only lasts until the next morning. Once you get to the next morning, that's it. Your hands are no longer washed. They are no longer mikudash. They're no longer sanctified. They require new sanctification. The idea that is used by Rebbe is the idea of lina. That once you have something that's placed into a kli sharis, so by the morning it becomes pasul, becomes disqualified. Sometimes it actually becomes disqualified earlier, right, through the concept of lina. So that's the concept that Rebbe uses. Although the Gemara did admit a day ago that concept that Rebbe uses is only midrabbanan. It's only rabbinic. It's not, the Kohen is not really a kli sharis. The hands aren't really a kli sharis, but still, that's the concept that's employed. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, which we've quoted also a number of times, is of the opinion now that it's not, his hands don't become unwashed in the morning, but you can go, the lashon of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, you can go 10 days with your hands being in that state. Again, assuming you didn't sleep and you didn't walk out, you didn't take a step outside of the Azara, but the point you didn't go to the bathroom. And the point is that according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, your hands do not become unwashed in the morning. You can continue to do the avoda even in the morning. Okay, we already discussed Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon at length. It's going to come up back in the Gemara again today. In our upcoming Gemara, so just that's why I gave a quick review of that machlokas. And now we're going to talk about the make kiur itself, the actual waters of the kiur. The kiur is a basin. Again, in our upside down picture, it's on the south. I gotta turn my head upside down.
Southwest.
It's on the southwest corner of the mizbeach, and yeah, it's correct. It's on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. You have this big basin in which the Kohanim would wash their hands from this big basin, and they would do so every single morning. There's a well, there's a pit. And what they would do is they would lower, through a pulley system, the kiur down into the pit, and they would lower it overnight. And then the next morning, they would pull it back up again. Now, the discussion that we're going to have now is as follows. It's going to be a three-way machlokas. It's going to be somewhat complicated, a little bit. And the Gemara is going to discuss now when those waters become no good. Meaning we know that the water in the Mekir, we're not talking about the water in your hand. The water in your hands that we talked about now, that's a Machlokas Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the actual water in the Kiyor. The water in the Kiyor need to be refreshed. Right? That's the whole purpose of why he dropped it into the well, so that the water would run over it and the waters would become refreshed. When do you have to do that? When do the waters need to be refreshed? So that's going to be the discussion and a three-way machlokas in the Gemara. Okay, so start off with opinion number one. Am Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, make your nifsal lematirin kematirin le'evarim ke'evarim. So the opinion number one is, when does it become possible? When does it become disqualified? So if it's for matirin, matirin are anything which permits a carbon to be consumed. For an animal, it's blood. For the flower offering, it's the kemitza. When do you do the matirin? When do you do the performance of the blood and the performance of the comets? During the daytime. Not at night. You can't do it at night. Once sunset hits, that's it. It becomes disqualified. So, if you want to wash your hands for the matirin, nifsal lamatirin kimatirin, which means when is the blood no good anymore? Right, I collected blood in a bowl from an animal that I shechted. When is that blood no good anymore? And right, it's no good anymore already by the sunset. By sunset, it's no good anymore. water in the kiyor is no good as well by that point in time. Meaning if I want to wash my hands with the water from the kiyor that experienced sunset, no good. That water is no good. It's disqualified. However, what if I want to do a nighttime activity in the Beis HaMikdash? Nighttime activity would be burning the fats, burning the limbs of the animal that were already shechted during the day.
I still need to wash my hands
in order to do that. I could wash my hands from this kiyor, even though I can't wash my hands from this water for any type of daytime service that's already done. But it's still, that water is still going to be acceptable for nighttime services. So le'evarim ke'evarim. That's the very next statement of Rabbi Chiya. That for the limbs ke'evarim, the same time allotment for the limbs. Which means, according to Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, when do I have to stop burning the limbs of an animal?
Daybreak.
By the morning,
daybreak.
So according to Rabbi Chiya, once you get to daybreak, that's it. Now the water is out of commission totally. Meaning I certainly can't use it for matirim, and I can't even use it for evarim as well. Okay, so opinion number one is the opinion of Rabbi Chiya. It's somewhat of a strange opinion in that the water like drops off a step and then drops off the table. Meaning that by already sunset of that day, the water already has experienced a little bit of a psul, a little bit of a disqualification. And then when you get to the next morning, full disqualification. Good. That is Rabbi Chiya. Obviously, according to Rabbi Chiya, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to send it down the well and have it refreshed for the next morning. Okay.
You have to do that anyways because it was only for four people each time, right? That the capacity was...
The minimum. Minimum capacity was for four people.
Oh.
Minimum. Because it was refreshed by the morning. Oh. They dropped it into the well and they brought it back up again. Okay. Rav Chisda Amar Af Lematirin Ein Nifsalin. Rav Chisda says, no, even for Matirin, it's not going to be Nifsa. Ella Be'amud HaShachar Ke'evarim. Like by Amud HaShachar. So we have the opinion of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda seems to be the most lenient position. He says nothing happens until the morning. Water does not become disqualified at all until the morning. So in other words, according to Rav Chisda, you simply have a total allowance to use any of the water for any purposes up until the morning. Once you get to the morning, however, that's it. Now the water has become pasul through this concept of lina. It's been sitting in the kli sharis overnight. So in the morning, it needs to be refreshed. Okay. So again, let's contrast. Rav Chiya says that already by sunset, it experienced a little bit of a psul. According to Rav Chisda, no. By sunset, it's not psul at all. Only until the next morning does it become psul. One more position, which is Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Amar.
I'm sorry, what difference does it make? Because they cannot do any other avodah anyway.
Correct. In other words, you're not going to be doing the avodah. So I guess let's speak this out. It's a good point. According to Rav Chisda, what you could do is you could wash your hands in the middle of the night with that water and then serve the next day. And then we get back to the Rebbe Lazar discussion. Meaning, does that work? Okay, but that's a very good point. All right, Hedy, that's an excellent point. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Okay, and the third opinion is Kiyosh Kevash Shaku Shuvei Ma'alehu. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, drop it and don't bring it up again. Okay, now, it's not clear. Rabbi Yochanan's really not clear right now what he's saying. Right? He's saying, I mean, I know what he's saying, but where is he on the, in terms of when it becomes possible? He doesn't say that. He just simply says, drop it and don't pick it up again. Shuvei Ma'alehu. Rashi says, call Halayla. Rashi says, in other words, you start off the night by dropping into the well and don't bring it up again. Now Rashi goes on to write, "Bekasaka dacha." Now look, at this point we're thinking, in other words, Rav Yochanan is not clear what he's saying, and Rashi's telling us what the thought process of the Gemara is. "Bekasaka dacha dafilu avodas halayla kamar Rav Yochanan demifsaba halasu ve'atar vayupalig." We think right now that according to Rav Yochanan, overnight the water is not good at all.
It could be done at 3 o'clock in the morning.
The water is not good at all. The whole night, according to Rav Yochanan. Meaning that what you do is at sunset, put it down in the well. Drop it down the well, because the whole night it's no good. So, if that's good, if that's true, so then we have now, a three-way machlokas with a good understanding of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan comes out to be the most strict. Rav Yochanan says that you drop it at night and that's it, and you cannot use it again until you bring it up the next morning.
So what happened to the burning of the limbs?
So the Kohen would have to have washed his hands beforehand,
prior to
sunset,
to nightfall.
And then just wait till the evening and do the avod in the evening.
Also for taking the what we call the ashes, cleaning and so on.
Right. So we're going to talk about that as well. Another very good point, that the Trumas Hadeshen, which takes place before the morning, mm-hmm. Okay.
So he has to stay awake.
Yes. Yes, but we're not going to conclude that way. All right. So we have now. It's a little complex. We have now three-way machlokas: Rabbi Chiya, Rav Chista, and Rabbi Yochanan. When the waters in the kiur become pasul. Okay, Rav Chista. No, let me go in the correct order of the Gemara. Rabbi Chiya says there's a drop off, meaning at nighttime it becomes now somewhat disqualified. You can only wash your hands after nightfall, after sunset. Only for nighttime activities, that's it. And then by morning, totally disqualified. Then we have the second opinion, which is Rav Chista, which Rav Chista sounds like all night it's fine, meaning that there's no drop-off whatsoever. It's just that when the morning comes, when the new day comes, then the water becomes disqualified. And then we have the opinion of Rav Yochanan, which at this point we think he means, or the Gemara thinks he means, that the whole night it's disqualified, period. Lememra, so the Gemara now is going to comment on all this. So we have another statement quoted in the name of Rav Yochanan. So, right, we're trying to say Pshan Rav Yochanan, but you have to work it with what we otherwise know, what Rav Yochanan says, which is that kemishalo shaku mi ba'erif, if you didn't dip it and in at night, so mikadosh mi menu avodas laila, so you could wash your hands with it, with the water, for your nighttime activities, for the burning of the fats and the limbs. So wait a second. Didn't we just say that Rav Yochanan says you drop it in at sunset and don't bring it up until the morning? So my enu ma'aleo nami dekamar la'avodas yom aval la'avodas laila chazei. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to have to rework our understanding of Rav Yochanan. What he means is that during the night, if you want to wash with the cure to do it for nighttime activity, that's fine. So the Gemara says, hopefully everyone now is thinking the same question as the Gemara is, because that means you understand what's going on. Ihachi hainu derebi chia bar Yosef. So then, yeah, same thing. Mm-hmm. So now we don't have a third opinion. We have Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, and we have Rabbi Yochanan, who is just simply a repetition, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. And it doesn't work that way. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara would not be introducing Rabbi Yochanan as a third opinion if he's not a third opinion. If he's just reiterating what Rabbi Chiya would say. The Gemara would say something like, V'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with him as well. So there has to be some degree of difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. Ika Beinayu, the Gemara, we're now on the top of Chafalaf on the base. Ika Beinayu, Gzera Shikua. So the Gemara says, yeah, there is a difference. There is a difference. Gzera Shikua. Rashi explains like this. Klamar. Hadu ukimein ma'aleo de Rabbi Yochanan mishum psu avodas yom. Loka de sakadach sheha laila posol avodas yom ke Rabbi Chiya. Ela shema lo yachzor v'yishke'enu v'nimsa amur ashachar posol avodas machar. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you're right. In theory, he absolutely agrees with Rabbi Chiya that if I want to use it to wash with it for nighttime activity, I can. Meaning after sunset, I want to use the cure and wash my hands with the cure, I absolutely can. However, I prefer if it were buried underground. Not buried, but yeah, buried. In the well, underground overnight. Why? Rabbi Yochanan's afraid that what happens if you keep it up on the ground level. Right, above ground level. We're afraid that if you keep it up there, you're going to forget. And the next morning is going to come, and that water is going to become pasul. So what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that, look, in theory I agree with Rabbi Chiya, that you could use it the whole night, but my preference is we'll call it a gzera. The Gemara calls it a gzera. So I think it's fair if we do the same thing as well. I want it down in the ground over the course of the whole evening, even though in principle it works the same way it would work, the Rabbi Chiya would say. That's the difference. Meaning, so that now comes out that according to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, you don't have to put it down at sunset. You could keep it up over the course of the evening. According to Rabbi Yochanan, no, put it down. In principle, he agrees with Rabbi Chiya, but because of the Gzeira, I'm afraid that if I don't put it down in the ground by sunset, I'm going to leave it out there the whole night, and it will be disqualified in the morning, and everybody agrees to that. So you know what? Put it down there at sunset. That is the subtle difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chiya. Good. One more step in this whole process. The Ham Rabbi Yochanan, Kiddush Yadav L'Trumas Hadeshen, L'Machar Ein Tzarech L'Kaddish, Shekvar Kiddush Mitzchilas Avoda. Okay, Hedy, you raised this point just a moment ago. You wash your hands for Trumas Hadeshen. Okay? Trumas Hadeshen is the first Avoda that's done in the morning. It's really a transition. It transitions from one day to the next in the Beis HaMikdash. Because what Trumas Hadeshen does is it cleans out the ashes. I know you're not taking off all the ashes, but it cleans out the ashes from yesterday's Karbanos. And it kind of makes room for today's Karbanos. Okay, good. Trumas Hadeshen, however, even though it's a transition, it really is primarily today. It's this morning's Avoda. Sorry? And what do we say? We said earlier, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that if the Kohen who does the Trumas Hadeshen, if he washes his hands, he doesn't have to wash his hands again the entire day. Right? He's good for the whole day. Because Trumas Hadeshen is fundamentally a today avoda, not a yesterday avoda. Okay, now, okay, this is a little bit of a head scratcher because what we have to do is we have to align this statement of Rav Yochanan with what we said earlier. What we just said earlier in Rav Yochanan is that your preference is it'd be buried underground the whole night. So how did you do that? How did you then wash your hands from the water of the kior if it's buried underground the whole night? So, okay, just hang with me for a couple more lines. As the Gemara tries to circumnavigate, or just navigate its way through Rabbi Yochanan and get a good picture of how this works according to Rabbi Yochanan. Bishlam ala rabba demokim la'ika rabba laza rabbi shimon haki rabbi. So the Gemara says, look, earlier we had a debate how to understand this line of Rabbi Yochanan, that you wash your hands for the Trumas Hadeshen and it's good the whole day. Now remember, as I already talked about earlier this morning, about a machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon. When you wash your hands, do you need to rewash in the morning? Rebbe says you do, and Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon says you don't. So, if, like we said earlier, a day ago, that this statement of Rebbe Yochanan about washing your hands for the Trumas Hadeshen, if that's going in line with Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, so then fine. So you know what? It's not a problem at all. Because the statement of you wash your hands for the Trumas Hadeshen and you're good to go in the morning, that's Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. This Rabbi Yochanan that says, drop the kiyor into the ground, don't let it come up, that's Rabbi. So good. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan is kind of analyzing the situation from two different perspectives. From Rabbi's perspective versus Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon's perspective. Good. That kind of works out. Ela le'abaye. Demukim la kerebi, kashya derebi ad derebi. But remember, though, we had a statement made by Abaye. Abaye says that this statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that washing your hands for Trumas Hadeshen and no need to wash it again earlier in the later in the day, that's going like Rebbe. Because, just to remind each other what the Gemara said earlier, this idea of Rebbe, that it comes in the morning, that's it, you got to wash your hands again, that's a din derabbanan, that's a rabbinic law. And under certain circumstances, like the Kohen working the Trumas Hadeshen, they were lenient. They were mako. Good. Here's the problem. The problem now is that statement of washing your hands in the early morning for the Trumas Hadeshen, that's a Rebbe statement. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yochanan also says, drop it into the ground and don't bring it up until the morning. So what just happened over here? Maishna hasam demashkale umaishna hacha delomashkale. Where is it? Is it in the ground or is it not in the ground? So the Gemara says, I'm confused. So the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Demisalek le v'han demashka le. So the Gemara says, okay, simple answer. So you're right. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I want it in the ground the whole night. Right? Because I'm worried that if I don't put it in the ground the whole night, someone will leave it out there in the morning. For the Kohen who's doing the Trumas Hadeshen, bring it up just for him and then put it back down again. Ihachi lamachar eno mekadesh amai. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so lamachar eno mekadesh amai. So why no kiddush for the next day? Ain't sarich lekadesh. So the Gemara says he doesn't need to be mekadesh, meaning that his hands are already mekudash, his hands are already sanctified, and he doesn't need To sanctify the next day.
Because he did
it because he did it for the Trumas Hadeshen. Lememra. Good. Good. So now it comes out that according to Rav Yochanan, somewhat of a better picture, still a little complicated. You drop it down in the well at sunset. You leave it there for the whole evening. And then what happens is in the very early morning, before daybreak, before dawn, the Kohen is going to do the Trumas Hadeshen for him. You roll it up, let him wash his hands, you bring it, we put it back down again.
Okay?
Lememra dilamatirin mechzechaze. So the Gemara says, okay. But that means then that when you wash your hands with this water, what kind of water are we talking about? This is nighttime water. When you wash your hands with it, you could do daytime activities. Now, who said that? Rav Chista said that. So the Gemara says, now what you've done is you've aligned Rav Yochanan with Rav Chista. It's kind of funny. We had Rav Yochanan originally the most machmir. In our original understanding of Rav Yochanan, he was the most strict. Meaning we thought in the very onset that once you get to sunset, that's it. It's done. Water's done. Water becomes disqualified. That's what we originally thought. Now, through a series of other statements of Rav Yochanan and our need to align Rav Yochanan with other statements that he made, now it comes out that the water at night, it's fine. It's only in the morning that becomes pasul. And I only put it in the ground overnight because of Gzeira. But that water is good. The water is so good, in fact, I can do daytime activities, matirin activities with that water from the night. Then it comes out that Rav Yochanan's on like Rav Chista. Hainu de Rav Chista. Ike benayu mitzvah shikua. The Gemara says, again, same thing. You're right. As far as the level of acceptance of the water's fine. Water's totally fine. Meaning that you could wash your hands with that water, that nighttime water, and you could do daytime activities. Meaning the next day. So what's the difference then between Rav Yochanan and Rav Chista? Again, this idea that do I have to put it in the ground over the course of the night? Rav Chista says, no, you don't. Meaning, according to Rav Chista, you can leave the kiyar up all night. It's just for the morning. You want to make sure that you get it underground in the morning. And then after daybreak, you bring it back up again. And according to Rav Yochanan, it would be preferable to keep it underground the whole night.
So the person who did the Trumas Hadeshen should not do any avodah. He has to wash it with the new water.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Twice. Once before Trumas Hadeshen, once before doing any other avodah.
And then the daybreak.
And then daybreak again. Say it again.
He has to go one for Trumas Hadeshen.
Right.
And once, when the daybreak comes, he has to wash it again.
Again, Rav Yochanan says he doesn't.
Rav Chista, I'm saying.
According to Rav Chista, I'm not sure. I'm unsure.
Because you need a new water. Why do you need a new water then?
No, he doesn't need.
Everybody else needs a new water. Remember, this is not a discussion. This discussion, Rabbi Chia, Rav Chista, Rav Yochanan, this is a discussion about the water in the kiyor, not the kohen. Right, the water in the kiyor needs going to be disqualified in the morning. Everybody agrees to that. It's just a question of when that disqualification process begins. So Rav Chia says it begins already at night. Rav Chista and Rav Yochanan both say, no, it doesn't begin at night. It only begins the next morning. It will be disqualified in the morning. And then the only difference is, according to Rav Yochanan, I still would prefer that it goes underground already by nighttime.
But I think maybe according to Rav Yochanan, once the water has been dipped underground at night, and then it's considered the next day water, even if you bring it up in the middle of the night.
I understand what you're saying, doesn't seem that way.
But it has to be lowered.
But the night is the next day anyway.
Not in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, right? Meitzvei, the Gemara says, let me ask you a question. Lo hayu ro'no sovelo shaman es kol lo ad sheshamin kol shal eitz shasa ben kitin muchni l'kior. The Mishnah in Tamid describes that scene in the morning, in the early morning. When the Kohanim there are sitting and waiting, now it's dark. It's not even daybreak. So it's really early in the morning. And Ben Kittin made this muchni, he made our pulley. And they're listening for the pulley to be cranked. Vehein omrim, once they heard it, eis kiddush adam v'raglayim, mina kior. Once they heard the pulley system, they said, okay, good. We're at morning. So the Gemara says, now, it's being cranked which direction? It's going up, it's going down. Like the Gemara is like literally confused in terms of, meaning we know what's happening in terms of sound, but we don't know what's happening in terms of sight. We know that someone's cranking the kiyor, but where is he going with it? And we know that the guy who is doing the mitzvah Trumas Hadeshim, which is happening before daybreak, we know that he's the one cranking it. So, but what's happening? So, my love, the Mesalek, Amma Mashkale. So the Gemara says, well, he's cranking it up, which means that it was been buried on the underground the whole night. This is, sounds like Rav Yochanan. It sounds like it's a great proof from Rav Yochanan. Lo demashkele. So the Gemara says, no, you don't have to assume that. You can assume that what the Mishnah Talmud is describing is him cranking it down, meaning it has been up the whole night and he's bringing it down. E demashkele mi mishtame kale. So the Gemara says, yeah. If he's dropping into the ground, people are going to hear it. And the Gemara says, yeah, Mashkele Begugala. Yes, absolutely. The wheel. It was, right, no DW40. Right? Yes, you heard it. You heard it, right? you heard it even as it was being pulled down again. Okay? Elishna Achrin, let me just quickly wrap up this whole discussion. The Gemara, the Mashkele Bechumrate Ki Hecha Delishtame. Chumrate, Rashi says, is a wheel. You drop it down with the wheel so that it would be here. So the Gemara says, Vaha Gavini Cruz. So the Gemara says, wait a second. The whole reason why I'm having the loud wheel, the unoiled wheel, the whole reason why we do that is so that it creates a sound so that Kohanim know it's time to get up. So the Gemara says, we also know, the Mishnah Yuma describes, you had a clopper, you had a guy running around the base of Mikdash in the early morning who would tell everyone, who would be the human alarm clock and tell everyone to get up. So the Gemara says, Beitrei Hekera Havu Avde, Deshame Mehai Asa, Veshame Mehai Asa. The Gemara says, two alarm clocks in the morning, right? Right, the snooze button, right? Yeah. two alarm clocks in the morning. Gvini was one alarm clock. He was a human alarm clock. And the wheel was another alarm clock. Okay, so multimodal way of...
How would Gvini get up himself?
How would he get up? That's his job.
I often wonder
how the, you know... Yeah, in yeshivas, they have the official guy that comes around and wakes everyone. How does... He has an internal clock.
Is he the one who is
Who's bringing the water up? So one of the Kohanim brought it up. So at this point in time, really, the Gemara really, again, Dr. Zagi, you're going to love this. It's the Gemara's inconclusive. Meaning, I know. This the Kiyur, it's funny, the Gemara, I happens to be with the Kiyur, the Gemara really left almost every question they asked unresolved.
So
right? I have not looked.
So this is rain.
So again, on the issue of when does the make kiyor become puzzle? So here's where everyone agrees. Morning time it becomes puzzle. If you left the kiyor around the whole night, so in the morning it will become puzzle, that's lina. And that's the classic case of lina. Because here you have water in the make kiyor. The make kiyor is a klisharis. It is a klisharis. And you left the water in the make kiyor until the next morning, so it becomes puzzle. That everybody agrees to.
That's even your Rebbe, though. Not every issue.
No, again, I know it's confusing. The Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon issue is the kohen, not the kiyor. The Kohen. They're arguing about if you, the Kohen, wash your hands, when is the next time you have to wash your hands? So Rebbe says every morning. Meaning Rebbe takes the concept of Lina and throws it on the person. Which the Gemara admitted earlier, that's only a Dinda Rabbanan. That's not real Lina. Real Lina transpires in a Klisharis.
Practical aspect of this in terms of washing hands?
So I'll get to that in just a moment. So the... So that is the opinion. So according to everybody, it becomes puzzle in the morning. Question is, what about before the morning? So now we could say, because now we have a hindsight 2020 vision. So now we could say that Rav Chista is the most makel. Rav Chista says, until the morning, it's fine. It's totally fine. You can go. You can wash your hands from it. It's going to be around the whole. It's going to be around the whole night. It will be fine. What about that Mishnah and Talmud that describes the cranking? So the Mishnah and Talmud is actually, according to Rav Chista, they're cranking it down. They're sending it down because at that point in time, they don't want the kiyor to be around for dawn. Because if the kiyor is around for dawn, all the water inside is going to be disqualified. So the guy who's doing the Trumas Hadeshim is going to wash his hands with that water and then crank the wheel and send it down into the ground. That is how Rav Chista would view...
Crank it up, and then crank it back down.
Sure, that's exact. All that, I don't know. And then, that's Rav Chista's viewpoint. Rav Yochanan Rav Yochanan in principle agrees with Rav Chista, in principle. However, Rav Yochanan says there's this zera or mitzvah of shikua. You want to send it to ground over the course of the evening. Okay? And the reason why, as Rashi explained, is because we're just afraid. If I don't send it down at sunset, so I'm going to forget, I'm going to leave it up. How does the Trumas Hadeshen come and wash his hands in the morning? So that, the Gemara described, he's going to crank it up and then crank it back down again. So for a couple of minutes, it will be up in the very early morning before dawn. That is Rav Yochanan. And then there's the opinion of Rav Chia. Rav Chia is kind of a, I don't know where to place him. But Rav Chia says that there's a drop-off in the level of acceptability of the water. Once you get to sunset, the water now becomes partially disqualified. I can't use it for daytime activity. I can only use it for I can only wash with it to do nighttime activities, burning of the fats, burning of the limbs, and then comes morning and then becomes disqualified legamri. Okay, those are your opinions in the Gemara. So really, fundamentally, there are two opinions, and then the question of shikua, the mitzvah of placing it into the ground. Okay.
The practical aspect.
The Rashba writes one of the big Sephardic Rishonim, right? He writes that we wash our hands in the morning. The mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim every morning is because the Kohanim have to wash their hands in the morning. So we who are like Kohanim, we are going to also be doing the Avoda. Our Avoda, however, doesn't involve an animal and fats and limbs. Our Avoda involves Tefillah. But still, tefillah is an avoda, so it's a form of service. So therefore, just like the Kohanim have to wash their hands, so we also wash our hands to do our avoda as well. That's the opinion of the Rashba.
You have to get fresh water?
You have to get... So in other words, whatever halacha is applied to the kiyur and the water that would be good for that would seemingly be true for our Netilas Yadayim as well.
Yeah, but if you have to produce fresh water, you're subscribing to one of them, no?
Meaning water, right, water that... Right, water that was stayed overnight.
Right. Sometimes they have the bowl.
Yeah, no, right? That's it. Yes. It doesn't. It, I understand that. It doesn't work that way. It's a fair point. But that only becomes possible in a kli sharis. Our little plastic washing cups are not a kli sharis. They're holy. They're for mitzvahs, but they're not a kli sharis. Gufa, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Okay, one more amud of Gemara, which I'd like to get through today, through Chav Beis Amud Aleph. One more amud of Gemara that the Gemara is going to be discussing now, the mitzvah of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Okay? Kol ki yoshem bo kedei lakadosh arba kohanim imenu im kashim bo. We saw this earlier. The Gemara is going back now and revisiting this point. It must be able to contain a minimum amount of water in order to wash the hands and feet of four kohanim. The pasuk says, "Shenemar v'achzum imenu Moshe v'Aaron uvanav." Moshe, Aaron, and his sons. I know at this point in time, Aaron had four sons. So, but we're assuming Banav means two sons. In general, that's how the Gemara works. Meaning that whenever the Torah gives us plural, we always take the minimum approach. Right? Any number beyond two, there's an infinite possibility. I know with Aaron, it's not infinite. But still, right? We always take the minimum approach. So it's Aaron, it's Moshe, and Banav, his sons, which means two, so that's a total of four. Meisvei, the Gemara says, here, I'm going to challenge you from a brisa. Kol akele mekachem ben sheyesh bahem revias, ben sheein bahem revias, uvavachu kli shareis. So the Gemara says that as long as it's a kli shareis, you can wash your hands and do the mitzvah of kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, even if it doesn't have a revius. Revius is a quarter log. It's about 4 ounces, approximately 4 ounces. Even if it doesn't have that much water in it, it's fine. You could wash your hands and feet with that water. Now, Rashi over here on the top of the page writes, revius, I look mine, the alpha gav, the Gerson Rashi, but the Alpha Gav the Beinan Shiur Gabin Tilas Yadayim Lagabi Kiddush Lo Beinan Shiur. There's no minimum requirement of water for this mitzvah of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. If you look at the top Tosfos, this on this page of Gemara, it's a recurring theme throughout Tosfos. Tosfos says, I can't imagine that the mitzvah of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is going to be more relaxed than the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, of our mitzvah of washing our hands. Meaning when we wash our hands, we know we need a minimum shear of revius. We need approximately 4 ounces of water to wash our hands. And now the Gemara is entertaining this idea that for Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragalayim, the Kohen sanctification of hands and feet, there's no minimum water requirement, not even a revias. Tosfos says, Tema. The gara, top Tosfos on the page, the gara minatilas yadayim, right? It's this should be less than natilas yadayim. It's hard to imagine.
But it's a different concept. See, with natilas yadayim, you pour it in a cup, right, and actually measure.
Right.
You open up a spigot, so there's no measuring.
Right. And it could very well be. I mean, this. I was thinking about this, that it could be that Tosfos is following the path of the Rashba, meaning that the Rashba believes that our washing of our hands is really a takeoff. It's a spinoff on the Kohanim's washing their hands and feet, and that's why Tosfos makes a comment like that. Like, wow. You, on the other hand, are making a very good point. It could be that according to Rashi, it's just two totally different concepts. Okay, good. That could very well be what's going on. So that's what the Gemara is asking the question. But in the Braisa, the Braisa says it doesn't even need a revius. I'm just explaining what the Braisa means when the Braisa says it doesn't even need a revius.
The kli, we're talking about big kli, big keyword.
And if, well, okay, so the Gemara says, so Amar Avada Baracha B'Kodach B'Socho. So the Gemara gives a good answer, and the Gemara says, look, you're right. The kiur itself needs a four-man minimum amount of water, right? That's clear. We're talking about over here water that is expressed from the kiur. Water that's expressed from the kiur, there's no shear, there's no amount over here. Rashi over here describes Kodach, you're drilling a hole in the kiur, and you're attaching like a mini utensil to the kior, right? You know why Rashi says that? Because the word kadicha, kadach, means to drill, right? In Shabbos, when we talk about the malachas of Shabbos, so in the Perek HaBoneh, in Shabbos, so the Gemara describes kodach b'chol shehu, right? When you drill, it's any amount. So Rashi over here says you're drilling into the kior and you're attaching a little utensil.
So
that's
it was wooden?
The kior is made out of copper.
It's copper on top of the wood?
No, the kior is actually made out of copper. The construction of the kior is copper.
Oh.
Okay.
So the spout or whatever it's called also will be made out of copper, right?
Presumably.
Yeah.
Okay. So it makes sense. Because of the toch, v'hami menu amar rachmano, the Gemara says, okay, but, wow. So you're telling me that I could wash my hands, not from the kior itself, but something connected to the kior, an attachment to the kior. The Gemara says, mi menu, the Torah says, I have to wash from it, from the kior. Yirchatsu l'rabbas kli shari. So the Gemara says, no. Yirchatsu means you wash the act of washing in any kli sharis. Yahachi kli chol nami. So the Gemara says, well, if it's any kli, it doesn't have to be kli sharis. It can even be kli chol am rabbi, kli chol lo matzis amar mi kavachomer, mi kano. So the rabbi says, no, impossible. Impossible to suggest that I'm going to use a non-sanctified utensil to wash my hands. Look, ma kano, the base of the kior, shenim shach imo, it actually was inaugurated. The Shemen HaMishcha, the oil, the inaugurating oil, was used to inaugurate all the utensils. And you inaugurated the kano, the base of the kior. And yet, you can't be mekadesh from the kano, from the base. Now, I know what you're going to ask me. How are you supposed to be mekadesh from the base? It's a base. It doesn't have a toch. It doesn't have an inside to it. It's a base. So good. So hold that question, please. We'll hopefully come back to that. But still, the Gemara is making its argument. If I can't wash my hands from the kano, which is nimshach, so kli chol sheino nimshach imo ino din sheino mekadesh. So the Gemara says, so if a kli chol, something, a utensil, a vessel that has not been sanctified, for sure cannot work. The kano minalan, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Yachol Yehi kano mekadesh, kederach shakior mekadesh. So the Gemara says, Gemara brings down a braisa. You would have had a havamina that the kior is mekadesh. Sorry, the kano is mekadesh, the base is mekadesh. Tamalam ravasi sekior nechoshev, kano nechoshes. The Torah describes, you make the kior the basin, and make the kano the base, and make them out of copper. Here's what bothers the Brice of the Gemara. It says, copper cure, copper base. You know what the Torah could have just simply said? A copper cure and base. Yeah. Right. So, l'nechoshes hikshisav v'lo l'daver acher. Here's their only point of similarity. They're both copper. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Meaning, can I wash from the kano? No. I can only wash from the kior. Amalei marzut shabrei derav mari laravina malakano shein asu lesocho. Toma b'kli chosh asu letocho. Here the Gemara asks our question. How are you washing with the base? It doesn't have a toch. What are you doing? Right? In other words, it's a strange way to learn a conclusion based on something which you can't wash with. So Ella, so the Gemara says, okay, good. It's a strong question. Mimenu lemeute klichol. Mimenu means it's a limitation. It means I can only wash from the kiyor, not from the klichol. Ihachi klishar is nami. So the Gemara says, if that's true, klishar is also is no good. Rabbi Rachmana yirchatsu. Yeah, but the Torah says yirchatsu, which means any act of washing is a good act. Mari isa zetar meshicha. Come over, zain tar meshicha. Come over. The Gemara says we have a riba, we have a miut. Why were you inclined to say that we're going to include klishars, we're going to exclude klichol? The Gemara gives a very simple argument. Look, the klishares, that was inaugurated. That was mikudash. Klichol is not mikudash. Good. All right. Very good. So what comes out from this Gemara is that when the Kohen washes his hands for Kiddush Adam V'Ragalayim, he can go directly to the Kiyor, wash directly from the Kiyor. Or now what we've just learned is to have a klishares, collect water from the Kiyor and wash with the klishares from the water that was collected from the Kiyor. Good. Next. Amar Reish Lakish. Kol hamashlim lemei mikvah, mashlim lemei kiyor. Now, the kiyor is not a mikvah. We've already made that point yesterday very clear. You can't put your hands, the Gemara in Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph told us, you can't put your hands in the kiyor, like agitate and like, okay, good. That doesn't work that way. It's not a mikvah. However, we're going to take some mikvah concepts and apply them to the kiyor. So for example, over here, the Gemara says that what you can do, Reish Lakish says, is that you could be, whatever's mashlim for a mei mikvah is going to be mashlim for a mei kiyor. Certain liquids that can get you to 40 sa'ah for a mikvah, those same liquids can get you to your minimum shear for the kiyor. Your minimum shear is a 4-man washing station for the kiyor. What are these liquids? So Rashi tells us you got to go to the 7th parak of mikvos, learn the 7th parak of mikvos, where there the Mishnayos give you your list. Good. Liravis eino mashlim. However, for the shear of a revius, no. Meaning that when do we need a revius? To wash our hands. For Netilas Yadayim, the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. So there you need a revius. You need a minimum of a quarter of a log, about 4 ounces. So there it has to be water, and it cannot be any of these additive liquids, which would have been okay by a mikvah, which would have been okay by the kiyor, not good enough for Netilas Yadayim. Once again, you see that same reaction from Tosfos. Like, what? What? The halacha of Netilas Yadayim is going to be more strict than the halachas of kiyor? And again, go back to Ben's point, the answer may be yeah. Correct. But anyway, Lamut,
I don't think it's a question of being more mach, but there's just different concepts. You know, with the Netilas Yadayim, you actually need to measure in the vessel, but with the kiyor, you just pour it out, so there's no need to measure it.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I'm just telling you, this concept bothers Tosfos again and again in today's daf. Okay, so obviously he looks at these two things more similarly than you and I do. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? We're talking about mud, running mud. Now I know it doesn't sound that exciting to wash your hands with running mud. So hechidami, the parashocha v'shasim imenu. Look, if the mud is so liquidy that the cow would have no problem bending over and drinking from it, I feel a revius nami. Please, that's fine, right? Well, who wouldn't want to wash their hands with liquid mud, with running mud? And look, if it's so viscous, if it's so thick that a cow wouldn't drink it, so then it wouldn't be good for a mikvah as well. For a mikvah, it has to be a liquid; it cannot be a solid. The Gemara says so. It's coming to exclude yavchushin adumin, red. Red water bugs. Okay, now I don't know what these water bugs are, but red water bugs are acceptable to make up the shear for a mikvah. And that means, think about it, oh, this is delicious, right? You're going to go into a mikvah, you're measuring, oh, the mikvah doesn't have 40 sa'ah in it. Okay, add the red water bugs. Good. And it'll be mashlim for the shear of 40 sa. And who wouldn't want to dip in it?
But it's good stuff.
Now, yeah, now I know I'm going to get some email today from message from Rabbi Slifkin, who's going to tell me, did you see Rashi on today's daf? And I'll say, yes, I did. I saw Rashi on today's daf. Now, Rashi does write, Yavchushim adumim, kemin yitushim, they're like gnats, Rashi writes, below kenafim, they don't have wings on them, kederch shagada bishulei chavios, shalyaim shalanu. You want to see them, Rashi says, go to the bottom of our barrels of wine. And you're going to see they grow in the bottom of the barrels of wine. Mibachutz, don't worry, says Rashi, they're on the outside of the barrel. They're not inside, we're not going to be drinking them. Yavchushim dakin, afhein nivraim minamayim, and how are they generated? They're generated from the water. Okay, good. So, and I know, I know we think we know better because, you know, we're scientific and we're smart. So good. And did Rashi not understand this? And, okay, that's, I'm over to these issues. Yeah, so you'll get, and I'm sure I'll get an email today telling me that, you know, Rabbi Slifkin has something to say about today's daf. But anyway, fish out of water. Literally. So good. Afilu be'einayhu nami. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You mean to tell me that these red, what do we want to call them? Red gnats. You want to tell me that these red gnats could be added to the mikvah? The Gemara says, I got news for you. You can tovel, you're going to love this. You can tovel in a mikvah made up of red gnats, meaning nothing else. Okay, Nami Dahatanya Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Kol Shetchilas Briyasam and Amayim. If it was Briyam and Amayim, if it was created from the water, Matbil and Bo, it has the status of water. So these red gnats, I know they don't look like water, but halakhically, they're water. And therefore you could tovel even in them as well. You're not going to forget today's daf. You really won't. And Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says you can even tovel in Eino Shodag, in the eye of the fish. Rashi describes beautifully. Let's say you had a huge fish. We're like in the category of whale. You have this huge fish, and the eye of the fish liquefies. Rashi says nimoach. It dissolves. Thank you. It jellies. It dissolves. And now you have a pool made up of this eye. You can go dunk tovel in such a pool. That would be fine. Now without the complications of Rashi and his discussion about how it's generated from the water, you know, we could just say a very simple pshat in that. In the Gemara, without having to worry about the scientific realities of the world. In that, fish who are produced in the water, right, not from the water, not by the water, but produced in the water, have the same halachic status of water. It just happens to be that when you tovel, you have to tovel into liquid. You can't tovel into a solid. So as long as it has a liquid element to it, as long as you take care of that problem, where it's not a solid, but it's a liquid, so then fish is water. Fish has the same halachic status of water. It just happens to be that you have to tovel in a liquid, not a solid. Once the fish dissolves and it turns into water, or not water, but it turns into a liquid, so then you tovel inside of it. And how it's generated and how it's produced isn't the key ingredient in this entire discussion. Right? If I'm making myself clear, great, and if not, so I'm trying. I mean, I get points for trying today. Okay, Amar Rav Papa. Good. So what we're trying to do now is we're trying to understand. You see, there was a statement made by Reish Lakish that anything which is mashlim for a mikvah is going to be mashlim for the mekiyor. Now we try talking about the liquefied fish, but the truth of the matter is the Gemara says that's such a terrible example because liquefied fish is water, meaning it's not even mashlim for a mikvah. It is a mikvah, could be a mikvah. So that's not going to satisfy our discussion of what are we talking about? What's the discussion we're having about the liquid which is mashlim for a mikvah, but not for netilas yadayim? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa. No, I skipped. Let me try that again. No. Amar Rav Papa. I was looking at the other one. Amar Rav Papa lema'ute nasan sa'a. If you have a mikvah that's 40 sa, exactly 40 sa. Okay. Rule number one. It's not rule number one, but it's up there. It's like one of the major rules of mikvah. You can't pass on the mikvah at that point in time. Meaning whatever you add to the mikvah will not disqualify the mikvah. It's a kasher mikvah. So, nasan sa'a v'natal sa'a. You can add a sa'a, right? A mikvah is made up of 40 sa'a. So we're talking about adding a 40th of quote-unquote foreign objects into the mikvah. And then after doing that, you can remove a sa'a of liquid, and that would be okay. Right?
So you could put a sa'a of fish in there.
A sa'a of anything.
Anything that's liquid.
Right. And then just simply take out the one sa'a of water. Harezekashav Amar Rav Yehuda, Bar Shila Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ad Rubo. And you can do that up to the majority. Meaning once the majority of the contents of this mikvah is not water, even if you did the process of nasan sa'a and natal sa'a, it's no good at that point in time.
Why is it? Because if you keep adding one unit, each unit becomes bottle. So why do you have a limit on that?
Yeah, but there has to be a limit. It's a fair question, but there has to be a limit. Otherwise, in other words, you need a base. You need a base for it to be bottle.
No, but one, the thing is that even if you had 40 saw, right?
You're assuming it's a bigger
number. Each one at the time are nullified.
Right.
So
it's a bigger discussion. You're assuming that bottle means it changes. It totally changes in what it is. Okay, let me just quickly wrap this up. Amar of Papa im Kadach bo Revi'is, Matbilin bo Machtin Vitzinoris ho mehechsher de mikvah asya. If you make a little side pocket, right, second time today we're talking about Kadach. If you drill a hole and you make a little side compartment of the mikvah, even though that little side compartment doesn't hold 40 sa'a, still it's connected to the main mikvah. And therefore, you can put in your little needles and whatever little instruments you want to tovel. Amar Reish Lakish, I'm sorry, Amar Rav Yirmi, Amar Reish Lakish, may mikvah ksherim lamei kior. The mikvah water is kosher for kior water. Lameima delamayim chayim ninu. Gemara says, wait a second, the kior. Where's the water for the kior coming from? Right, and we're ending today with a pretty big point. Meaning, the water that you have to put the kior in, is it just simple collected rainwater, or does it have to be running spring water? And what we're going to see in the Gemara in just a moment is we're really not sure. I know, had he added to the list, right? We're really not sure what the water has to go into the mekior. So the hatanya b'mayim v'lo b'yayin, I'm sorry, v'lo b'yayin b'mayim v'lo b'mazuk b'mayim l'rabu shar mayim v'kavachom l'mekior. The Gemara describing how do I wash the intestines of an animal says kavachom l'mekior. What does that mean? My kavachom l'mekior lav de mayim chayim ninu. Mekior has to be mayim chayim, has to be spring water. The Gemara says lo de kaddish. No, it just simply means that it's sanctified. Ukedisha ma yusehi va'atan Rabbi Shmuel mayim shein lahem shem lavai yatsu mekior sheish lahem shem lavai. I can use the mekior because it's very specific. El lav de ruuyim lemekior ama mayim chayim ninu. So the Gemara says it sounds like over here that the water used for the mekior has to be mayim chayim, has to be spring water. Tanaihi, and the Gemara ends off by saying top of Chav Beis Amud Beis, it's actually Machlokas. What water is used for the Mekior? The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mekior, Rabbi Shmuel Amr, Me Ma'ayan Hain. The Chachamim Omrim, Shami Most Hain. Machlokas between the Tanayim, what water are you going to use in the Kior? Does it have to be spring water, or can it be any type of mime, any type of water?